Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible.
I certainly want you to feel welcome, because our subject today is a really important one. Our subject is how to develop moral intelligence. Well, I assume that in order to get started, we need to understand what the word intelligence is. What do we mean by when we talk about intelligence? And the answer is simply this. Intelligence is the faculty of understanding something. The faculty of understanding something. In fact, the scripture says it this way. Understanding is a wellspring of life to him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. So what we're after here is how to develop, in fact, moral intelligence. Before we get started, though, let's take a look at this picture. This is you. and certainly you're a lot better looking than this person, but there you are. And in front of you is your life. It is a maze. The question becomes, how are you going to find your way through this maze? And what's it going to be like when, if and when you actually get to the other side? Now, what I want to suggest to you is that the most critical thing about being able to navigate through life is to have developed moral intelligence. Because everything else is going to, in fact, be affected by whether or not we have moral intelligence. So our subject today, for starters, and this is going to take us about five sessions together, so I hope you'll catch up with all of them, but this is the first one. And the first one is, and understand now, that intelligence is the faculty of understanding. So, in fact, here we go. How do you develop moral intelligence? Begins with understanding, first of all, what it is. It is the faculty of understanding moral versus immoral. Look at this definition. Morality. The knowledge of moral science. Ethical wisdom. The basis of right personal standards. In other words, there must be some concept of morality versus immorality, or how else can a person have the faculty of understanding what's right and what's wrong. In fact, that's what we come to next. It has to do with understanding right versus wrong. So just so we have some working definitions, when we refer to wrong, we refer to that which is morally unjust or unfair, amiss or improper. And in contrast to that, let's look at the scripture. He that doth wrong, look at now, shall receive for the wrong. Look at this, shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. It is not smart to do wrong. It's not an intelligent choice. So developing moral intelligence means understanding the difference between right and wrong. And one should also notice this, there's no respect of persons. Nobody gets out of this. We either have it or we don't. We either know the difference between right and wrong, or we don't. But it goes farther than that. In fact, we need to understand the difference between righteousness and wickedness. Woe to the wicked! It shall be ill with him. It's going to be a mess. Can you see already why it's important to develop moral intelligence? If you want it to go well with you, you need moral intelligence, because with the wicked, it's not going to go well with him. Look at this. Doesn't end there. For the reward of his hands, that is, of his wickedness, shall be given him, and he will not escape from it at all. Now, in contrast to this, the scripture says that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. And there's some benefits to this. This is why we must, all of us, have developed moral intelligence. His eyes are open unto their cry. In contrast, the face of the Lord, God, is against them that do evil. Ooh, you do not want God against you. You can have a lot of enemies, but one of them better not be God. Look at here now. For the Lord, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Like it's going to be game over for them. Can you see already some of the consequences, some of the benefits, some of the wisdom on why a person should have moral intelligence? But let's go further. Here we go. It means to understand the difference between virtue and vice. Some people, it appears today, don't know the difference. The consequences are all over our culture and around the world. Virtue is valor or courage, fortitude, chastity, or working for good, or having spiritual force. Vice, in contrast to that, is depravity. It is the corruption of morals. It is the indulgent in degrading pleasures or practices. So we must grasp the difference between virtue and vice. Some people have this belief that doing something that is morally wrong, some vice, is actually a road to happiness, when in fact, nothing could be further from the truth. Let's look at some more scriptures about this. According to his divine power, God hath given to us, and this is so delightful, my friends. God has given to us all things, look at this, all things that pertain to life and to being godly, through the knowledge of him that has called us, now watch this, he has called us to glory and to virtue. Whoa. So what happens when you respond to this wonderful impartation from God and you get glory and virtue? Because by these, you will, watch that now, become number one, a partaker of, you'll be just like God. And look at this, you will escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. You will escape it all. Wow. The benefits of moral intelligence. And besides, the same scripture goes on, all this, add to your faith, give all diligence to this, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. So we see now that there are a lot of parts, no way, to the development of moral intelligence. I hope as we process through this that you will see some of the benefits and some of the downside of not having moral intelligence. And we're going to get to that later, because we're going to cover the next, probably the, not the next time, but the time after that. We're going to cover the subject of the importance of moral intelligence. What are the impact on life situations? My goodness. And they are magnitude. There's a multitude of them. In fact, moral intelligence is the first key to having an intelligent marriage, intelligent family. Without moral intelligence, the marriage is not going to go the right direction, nor are the children. It's going to affect your business. Moral intelligence is going to affect your finances can affect every area of life. It's that important. But let's look at another. It has to do with understanding the difference between honesty and dishonesty. Honest, by definition, is having truthfulness and integrity. To be candid. To be, look at this now, factually reliable and without lies, without deception, without cheating. Sincere and genuine. My goodness. Can you already tell how important this actually is? Let's look at another scripture on this one before I move on. We must learn to provide for honest things. Now watch this. Not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of people. We must learn to be honest, whether somebody's looking at us or not. And so what does that mean? It means that we renounce, look at this now, the hidden things of dishonesty. We are as honest when nobody's looking as we are as if they were looking. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness, not slick, not manipulating, not trying to outdo someone else, not being snippy and snide and creepy and slimy. Don't handle the word of God deceitfully. It's amazing. You know, it's absolutely amazing how people can go to the Bible and use the Bible to justify some wrong moral choice. Well, look what David did, and so here am I. So we must not handle the word of God deceitfully. But by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Oh my goodness, how delightful is that? You see, moral intelligence is the faculty of understanding the difference between honesty and dishonesty. But let's look at another one. Understanding glory versus shame. Shame is disgrace, right? The loss of decency. It's the loss of proper esteem and dignity. It has to do with self-disgust. No. And that's not a very nice way to live, thinking that way about yourself, is it? Some people do that, but they intend to cover it up. In contrast, though, glory is something you should have. The glory of God is man fully alive. Look at this. Glory is proper self-esteem. Not manufactured, dreamed up, not narcissism, but living honorably and in fact being praiseworthy. Understanding the difference between glory and shame. Now, here's a scripture that everybody knows, but maybe we don't all understand it. Because this is the problem with what we call sin. We all know the scripture. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man was made to have the glory of God. He was made to really be something special. But sin takes it away. That's why you need to know the difference between right and wrong, righteousness and wickedness, good and evil. We'll come to that. Watch this now. Sin takes away your glory, your ability to feel good about yourself, not in some pompous, arrogant, self-exalting way, but to have confidence in what you are. You see, the wise shall inherit glory. When we do what's smart, that's why we're talking about moral intelligence. It's smart. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame, in contrast, shall be the promotion of fools. That's what they get out of the deal. Understanding glory versus shame. In fact, let's look at one more verse about this. Poverty and shame. Poverty and shame. Look at this now. Poverty and shame. Poverty goes with the shame. And this could not just be financial poverty, but poverty of one's own esteem of self. Poverty and shame shall be him that refuses instruction. But in contrast, he that regards reproofs can be corrected, shall in fact be honored. Isn't that delightful? Now, I want to get sensitive with you just for a moment, because this is a day and age when people don't know the difference between glory and shame. I want you to take a look at this scripture long and hard with me and see if it doesn't have application to our culture today. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? I mean, they really did some really ugly things. But were they ashamed? No. They were not at all ashamed. Not only were they not ashamed, but neither could they blush. A culture that has lost the ability to blush. A culture that boasts about something that they should be ashamed of. And so guys go to the locker room and they boast about the shameful things they did last weekend with whoever. A day when their shame has become their glory. Were they ashamed when they had committed an abomination? Nay, they were not ashamed at all. And neither could they blush. Look at what the scripture goes on to say. Therefore, they shall fall. Among them that fall at the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. So here's the answer. Stand in the ways and take a look around, see, and ask for the old paths. Remember the old-fashioned way? Back when we did sin and we were ashamed of it. Ask for the old paths, wherein it's the good way, and walk in it, and look at the results. You shall find rest to your soul, and rest to your mind, and it will be well with you. I'm reminded in our conversation, and I'm so glad you're with me at this moment, of that scripture that says, thou shalt not follow the multitude to do evil. Don't follow the crowd, especially when they're now boasting about that which should be shameful, because they lack moral intelligence. Oh, they think they're smart. They're, you know, every fool is right in his own eyes. All right. Now let's move to this one. Moral intelligence means understanding the difference between good and evil. Evil means depraved, bad, wicked, vicious, intending to do harm or hurt, mischievous, prejudicial, malicious, causing discomfort, pain, trouble, unpleasantness, and misery. That's a good definition of evil. So watch here now. For the words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise. He stopped doing smart stuff. He stopped being intelligent. Right? And he devises mischief upon his bed. Sets himself in a way that is not good. Watch this now. He abhorreth not evil. Well, today people boast about evil. Can you imagine being entertained by evil? Thank you, Hollywood. And so now we sit by the hour and watch evil as entertainment. From the adulterous to the perversion to the killing to the stealing to the everything of it. And the pollution of the culture has reached such standards now that those are no longer movies. Those are reality, television, real life, real life. What happens when a culture doesn't know the difference between good and evil? What happens when a person does not know the difference between good and evil? It is set before us. Look at here now. I have set before this day life and good, death and evil. God wants you to have what's good, not what's evil. Because good is productive for your life and evil produces death. So, he gives us instruction. Depart from evil. Stop evil and do good. And look at the results. You will dwell forevermore. I mean, it will really go well with you. Now, the fact is that evil, bad results, bad consequences, chases after people who prefer to sin. In fact, here's the scripture. Evil pursues sinners, but to the righteous, look at this, good shall be repaid. That's why you want to have moral intelligence. Because the result of it is good instead of, and blessing instead of curses and instead of bad things happening. So keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking bitter or guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open to their cry, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Oh my goodness. The consequences of not knowing the difference between good and evil. Now, here's a real tough part. Because where does this start? The teaching of moral intelligence must begin in a person's childhood. That's the primary job of parents. It precedes every other kind of education and trumps every other kind of education. Look here. Your children in that day had no knowledge between good and evil. If your children don't know the difference between good and evil, their future is bleak, to say the least. Moral intelligence means understanding the difference between good and evil. And the earlier a child learns the difference between good and evil, the more intelligence they'll have, moral intelligence, which will lead to other forms of development. Now, there are some scriptures in the Bible that begin with this three-letter word, woe. It means watch out, means should be written in red letters. Warning, warning, warning. Well, that's just now. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Warning. Do you see how important moral intelligence is? Because a person, a people, a culture, a nation, if you please, can get in this mental disturbed position of thinking something is evil is really good, and that good is really evil. And the culture will commit cultural suicide. That is, they will begin to prosecute and persecute those who hold on to what's good. Yep. Jesus warned us, they'd take us to court. They want us to stop saying what's good, and they'll come up with all kinds of legal reasons. Like, you offend me by reminding me that such and such a thing is a sin, or this is right or that is wrong. Woe unto them. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Big trouble in a culture that does not have the moral intelligence to know the difference between good and evil. Now, this scripture goes on to give us another insight to what constitutes moral intelligence. Here it is. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Look at this. That put darkness for light and light for darkness. That put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. But I want to talk about understanding the difference between light and darkness. And some people have no idea of what it means to be walking in the light versus being in the dark. Remember, we started out with the illustration of a maze, right? How are you going to make your way through life to get to the other side successfully? Well, look at this. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. Why don't you ask yourself right now? Why don't you look at our culture, watch the news, and ask yourself, has darkness come upon us? Watch this now. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. Because he that walketh in darkness has no clue where he's going or what he's doing. Woe of them that put darkness for light and light for darkness. Because you see, this is the condemnation. That light has come into the world, but men love the darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So, when the sun goes down at night, the crime rate goes up. Maybe it's because people think that God can't see in the dark, but the scripture says that darkness and light are both alike unto him. Because our deeds, that we want to do what's wrong, and therefore we love darkness rather than light. And now watch this. Everyone that does evil hates the light. These two are in contrast with one another. They are opposite. They are diametrically, no, they are diabolically opposed one to another. And that's why they don't come to the light, because then if they did, their deeds would be reproved. So that's exactly what the scripture says. So this then is a message which we have heard of him, of God, of Jesus. Watch this now. And declare unto you that God is light. Now watch this important phrase. And in him is no darkness at all. Watch with me this little diagram here. So the question I'm asking you as you look at this is, where does the light begin and where does the darkness begin? And most people will say, well, this is definitely dark, and that would be partly true. But see, the scripture says that God is light over here. And in him is no darkness at all. You see, right here, it's got a bit of dark in it, a little more dark here, and a little more dark here, and it keeps getting darker. But with God, there is no darkness at all. He is, no shades of gray, none. Because what we have learned to do with light and darkness is say, well, it isn't really all that dark. The fact is that it's only light when it's right over here. Because as you go this way, incrementally, darkness is creeping in and creeping in. With God, there is no darkness at all. So, take heed that the light which is in you be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, that's how you want to be, right here. Then the whole body is full of light. Every part of your life is full of light. As when the light shines of a candle and gives bright light out. That's the way that you want to be. Now, just a couple more thoughts about this, and I hope you'll join me going forward with more detail on how to develop moral intelligence. But right now we're talking about what is moral intelligence, and so we come to this one now, that you have to know the difference between God and Satan. A lot of people don't know the difference from one and the other, when in fact the differences are so polar opposite. And why is that? The God of this world, which is referring to Satan, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Lest, look at this, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. My goodness. You see, that's why I hope one of the reasons you're watching and have joined with me. Because our task is to open the eyes and to turn them from the darkness to the light. Now watch this. And from the power of Satan unto God. Let me tell you some really basics. God is good and the devil is bad. And you never want to get them mixed up. But there's a movement on now to get you to worship the devil. And they call it white magic instead of black magic. Watch that. The last thing I want to mention about developing moral intelligence is to, and remember what intelligence is. Intelligence is the faculty of understanding. So we want to talk here now about understanding love versus iniquity or narcissism. They are the opposite. Iniquity, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. These two cannot coexist because they are polar opposites. You see, iniquity has to do with doing my will and not giving a rip about anybody else. Love has to do with doing what's best for somebody else without personal benefit or profit as a motive in it. Iniquity. Now we've got, and you should really take a look, we have a whole teaching on this, a book coming out, by the way, short days from now on the very subject, an entire manuscript on the subject. You see, iniquity was one of the four reasons Jesus went to the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions, but he was bruised for our iniquities. Huh? Remember, Lucifer used to be a good guy, used to be a good angel, one of the top three, Michael, Gabriel, Lucifer, big three. And Lucifer, of him it said, he was perfect in all his ways until iniquity was found in him, and for that reason he got kicked out of heaven. What was his iniquity? He said, I will be like the Most High God. I will ascend into heaven. I'll exalt my stars above the stars of God. And five times he said, I will, in front of it, because he put I in front of everything and everybody else. And that is precisely the definition of narcissism. The scripture says, love rejoices not in iniquity. You can't go both ways at the same time. Developing moral intelligence. Remember with me that intelligence is the faculty of understanding. And when we began this, I said I was going to try and give you a bit of outline, so let's repeat it. Here we go. Remember, intelligence is a faculty of understanding. Moral intelligence, then, is understanding the difference between that which is moral and that which is immoral. That which is right versus that which is wrong. That which is righteous versus that which is wicked. Virtue versus vice, and honest versus dishonest, and the difference between glory and shame, and the difference between good and evil, and light and darkness, God and Satan, love versus iniquity and narcissism. And my friends, this is what it means to develop moral intelligence. So important, because it affects every other part of life. Now we began with this picture. And this is you. And this is life. And you've got to find your way through life. And so, here's what we need to do. Discover what is moral intelligence. The next thing is to discover the source of moral intelligence. How are we going to get it? Where is it going to come from? Then we need to know the benefits of moral intelligence. And then we're going to discover the how to get it. How do I become morally intelligent and train my children to be morally intelligent as well? And then we're going to talk about how to maintain moral intelligence. Because what's going to happen is the culture and so many other influences are going to try and contribute to your downcast, to your failure, to your lack of morality and goodness. So thank you for joining me. And don't miss the next four sessions on how to develop moral intelligence.